Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
An introduction to our scripture today. In today's passage, we will see that Jesus had a very different view of children than so many people had, either in the first century world or in our own 21st century world. Not only did he accept children with love, but he also heightened their status by using them as an example for all to follow if they wish to enter into the kingdom of God. Our gospel reading is from Mark 10, 13 through 16. Jesus blesses little children. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them.
Thank you all so much for inviting me here. I've preached thousands of sermons all over the United States. And I just want to share with you my perspective, and I'll get right into the sermon. I preached in Florida, where the Southern Baptist was all hell and brimstone. You're sinners, you're all going to hell. The church was really not that much fun. I preached out in the Midwest, out in Missouri and Arkansas, and that was the Bible Belt. And they had similar attitudes about all of us were sinners. Well, I went to the Wesleyan Theological Seminary, and out of seminary, I kind of came to the attitude of church should be fun. We're glorifying God. It's a happy time. It's a good time. And that's why when I preach, I like to start out with a couple stories that will kind of lighten things up for us a little bit. And that's the idea behind it. My grandfather, his name was Guy William Bentley, and I grew up in Vermont. Of course, he grew up in the same town. Now, Guy, Grandpa Bentley, he was a politician, he was a farmer, and he was a hunting guide. Rich people from Boston and New York used to hire him to show him where the deer or the pheasant or where the best fishing was, or where the places, best places to go duck hunting. Well, Grandpa Bentley used to love to tell the story about this very rich, very entitled client that he had from New York. And this guy, he wanted the best gun, the best clothes, the best boat, the best of everything. And he would try to do anything he could to impress his buddies. So he bought the most expensive dog he could find, and he spent years training this dog, and he invited his friends to come duck hunting. So they went to Lake Shaftesbury, and they said, "Come, let's go duck hunting." And pretty soon, some ducks came over, and they got a few. So this man said to his dog, "Go, Topper, go get the ducks." And the dog trotted out across the top of the water, grabbed the duck, brought him back to the boat. "Go, Topper." And he went out and he grabbed another duck and he brought him back to the boat. And he was beaming with pride, and he just had to find a way to brag about his dog. So he said to one of his fellow hunters, he said, "Do you notice anything unusual about my dog?" And the hunter said, "Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. That silly dog doesn't know how to swim, does he?" Well, Grandpa Bentley had 1,000 stories, and that was one of his favorites. The thing about church is again to have fun. The sermon today is about love and friendship. There's an old African proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child. You know, I know that's true because I grew up in that kind of a village myself, where I had caring adults who took an interest in me, and they gave me guidance and mentoring and gave me good advice. And I think it also takes a village to support all of us. Even if we love solitude, and I do, we all need community. We need friends and family to help us find our moral compass, our spiritual center, and our path in life. We need the community to do that. We need communities of conscience and care filled with all sorts of interesting and sometimes quirky people, quite fallible, yet willing to take us as we are and bring us into our own wondrous humanity. People who are kind, even when they challenge us. You know, friends, for most of my life, I've lived in the 100-acre woods of Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh has inspired children for nearly 100 years. My older sister read Winnie the Pooh to me when I was a child. I read it to my children when they were children, and was brought back to Winnie the Pooh when my own little Pooh Bears, my grandchildren, came along. And I learned once more the joy of children's stories, the 100-acre wood, and bears that talk, and donkeys who complain. I find a gospel lesson in the critters of the 100-acre woods. A community where everyone knows your name, sees you with your imperfections, and accepts you anyway. A community where kindness is the rule and the deed, just like this church, just like all of you. That's the good news. That's the gospel. To be accepted just as who you are, and loved in all your own quirkiness. That's the gospel according to Winnie the Pooh as well. The realm of stuffed animals coming to life through the spirit of A.A. Milne's Christopher Robin. Take Eeyore. Eeyore, he's always dour, ready to look for the dark cloud even on a sunny day. And yet, as actor George Takei from Star Trek said, one awesome thing about Eeyore is that even though he is clinically depressed, he still gets involved and participates in the adventures and shenanigans of all his friends. They never expect him to pretend to feel happy. They just love him anyway. And they never leave him behind or ask him to change. That's friendship at its best, my friends. We welcome folks just as they are, just like the ones on the seat next to you, or the homeless person that may wander into your path. We are kind even when we meet strangers. You know, and take Piglet. Piglet was always anxious. After all, he was the smallest of the group, and the world was so big to him. Yet, in a pinch, it's Piglet who saved the day, summoning all his courage to rescue his friends from danger. As a good friend, we take the little ones and give them a dream and tools to become larger than they could have imagined. And look at Rabbit. Oh my gosh, Rabbit. Rabbit was a micromanager, suspicious of strangers or anything that was unfamiliar. He's the one who said, we always did it this way. He liked life the way it was. He doesn't like change. But when he overcame his feelings to welcome strangers into the wood, like Kanga and Roo, they were different. They were from another world to him. Or Kanga and Roo, speaking of them, they came without documentation. They were strangers in a strange land, and they gave heart to the community. One of my favorites is Owl. Owl always used big words, reminding everyone that he's the smartest one in the woods. The problem was, no one understood him. And once he got talking, he didn't even understand himself. Yet, he was loved. The brightest and the simplest belong in the team. Who could forget the exuberant Tigger, hopping through the forest, talking loudly just to show how happy he is. He was a regular nuisance, and he disrupted everything. And yet, his messy spirituality is as real as any spirituality any of us will have. And what about that honey-driven pool? He meanders throughout the woods, always in search of a snack or a honeybee hive. A bear with little brain, but all heart and all love. He saves the day by reminding us that love is the only thing that really matters. And that when we love one another, we'll be the friend that everyone wants. I want to introduce you to my friend, and she's my pen pal too. This Solene. Solene Muller lives in Easton. She's a beautiful young woman, and I've invited her to come and read you a Winnie the Pooh story, just like I have read to my children. Solene, would you come up and do that, please?
Eeyore's good day. The sun was only reaching its highest point in the sky over the 100-acre wood, but already had been a friend-filled day for Winnie the Pooh and Piglet. Early that morning, they had agreed it was a good day to visit their friends. First, they had dropped in on Kanga and Roo, who were just finishing their breakfast. What a pleasant surprise, Kanga had said. She had welcomed them inside and set two more places at the table. Pooh had already had a full breakfast, but the walk to Kangaroo's house had made Pooh and Piglet hungry. Next, Pooh and Piglet had stopped at Rabbit's house, just in time for a mid-morning snack. Rabbit was happy to see his friends while he took a break from working on his garden. And later that morning, they had dropped to say hello at Owl's. He was just beginning to fix his lunch and invited Pooh and Piglet to join him. "I'm not sure we can stay for lunch," Piglet said. "We have a few more friends to visit." Pooh scratched his chin and rubbed his tummy, deep in thought. "Though I suppose that means we'd better keep up our strength," he said at last, plopping down into one of Owl's chairs. Now, as Pooh and Piglet made their way toward Eeyore's house, Pooh felt pleasantly full while Piglet felt overstuffed. He hoped that Eeyore had no food to offer. "Good morning, Eeyore," Piglet called out as he and Pooh spotted their friend sitting in the sun. "Oh, hello," Eeyore replied glumly. "What brings you out to my gloomy part of the wood?" Pooh looked up at the sky and bright sun. "It doesn't seem very gloomy to me," he said. Eeyore turned his eyes skyward. He said flatly. "I suppose you're right." "Is anything the matter, Eeyore?" Piglet asked. Eeyore thought it over. "No," he said at last. "I suppose nothing is the matter today." Pooh and Piglet looked at each other, puzzled. Neither was quite sure what to say. Nothing the matter? Usually Eeyore had at least one trouble to report. that his tail had fallen off, or his house had fallen down, or been moved when he wasn't looking. Eeyore lay down and sighed a heavy sigh. I guess this is what some folks would call a good day. I call it downright uncomfortable. Pooh scratched his head. Uncomfortable? He said. Eeyore nodded. I'm not complaining, he said. But nothing the matter feels an awful lot like something the matter to me. Suddenly, Piglet had an idea. Pardon me, Eeyore, he said. I need to talk to Pooh for a second. Piglet pulled Pooh aside and whispered in his ear so that Eeyore could not hear. Pooh Bear, I was wondering, Piglet began. Do you think Eeyore would feel better if something were the matter? I think that would be. That very well may be, Pooh whispered back. I was thinking if you and I were to make something the matter, just temporarily, of course, perhaps Eeyore would feel more like himself, Piglet suggested. Pooh and Piglet decided they would ask Eeyore to come with them to visit Christopher Robin. They figured that would take his mind off his problems, or rather, his lack of problems. But on the way back to Eeyore's Piglet stooped to examine a tiny ladybug on a flower. Pooh, who was walking right behind him, didn't see Piglet stop. Pooh stumbled over Piglet and flew through the air toward Eeyore. At the very last moment, Eeyore stepped out of the way and Pooh tumbled full speed into Eeyore's house. Eeyore's house came crashing down to the ground. Don't worry, Eeyore, Piglet reassured him. We'll rebuild it for you, won't we, Pooh? Yes, yes, Pooh replied. And he and Piglet went right to work, putting the house back together as Eeyore looked on. As Eeyore watched his friends rebuild his house, the smallest smile worked its way across his face. Was it because now there was something the matter, and that felt more natural to the gray donkey? Or was it watching two good friends working hard to cheer up another that made Eeyore's spirits lift? Whatever the reason, all three friends agreed it turned out to be a very good deed indeed.
I'm sure you'd much rather listen to her than listen to me. But, you know, in the 100-acre woods, they all belong. They're all needed. And together, they bring out the best in each other, just like that of a true friend. Everyone needed, everyone is important, and everyone has a gift to share. One day, Piglet asked Winnie the Pooh, when you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you think to yourself? Pooh responds, what's for breakfast? Then Pooh asked Piglet, what's his first thought of the day? To which Piglet responded, I wonder what's going to happen exciting today. I wonder what's going to happen exciting today. That's the message of Winnie the Pooh and his friends, and it's the message for you and me. So they went off together, but wherever they go and whatever happens to them on the way, in that enchanted land on top of the world, a little boy and his bear will always be playing. And I pray that happens to all of us. The church asked me to say a little word about stewardship. But I'm going to turn it right on its head. You know what stewardship is? It's about money. But money is needed. The church needs money to support you and the community, and to support the church and the building and the maintenance and everything else. Stewardship is about money. But here it comes. This is a sermon about stewardship with no money. Yep, stewardship with no money. What I'm asking from you is to bring someone new to this church. It could be a relative or a friend or someone that you just met. Think of how wonderful it would be to introduce someone new to this wonderful, caring, friendly church and this wonderful congregation. You'd be a hero for introducing your friends to all these beautiful people. All of you in this congregation are just like the characters in Winnie the Pooh. You love each other, and despite your differences, you give and you share, and you don't ask anything in return. That's true Christians. And I'm proud to call you my friend. But I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm going to show you exactly what I mean. My friend Lisa is here. She drove all the way from Milford to come here just to meet you. And next week when Debbie and I come, we'll bring someone else that's never been to this church. And my challenge is to you, bring somebody next week who's never been to the church. And if you do that, this church will grow and prosper much more than if you put an extra dollar or two in the collection plate. That's the way for this church to grow. You know, I had another little story I was going to tell. One day, Moses and Jesus decided they play a round of golf. So they go to the first tee, and there's a lake and the first green. And Jesus says, I can do it. I can hit it just like Tiger would. I'll hit that ball and go over the lake right onto the green. Whack, the ball goes, boom, right into the water. Moses says, I'll get it. So he goes and he parts the water and retrieves the ball. So Jesus says, well, this time I'm going to be just like Tiger Woods. I'm going to hit that ball right on the green, and whack, the ball goes right into the water. Moses shakes his head, oh my gosh. He parts the water and he goes and retrieves the ball. Jesus said, I'm really sure I can do it. I'm as good as Tiger Woods. I can hit that ball right onto the green. And whack, he hits the ball and it goes right into the lake. Moses said, hey, this time you get it yourself. So Jesus trotted across the top of the water. By then a crowd had gathered and someone said, who does he think he is, Jesus Christ? Moses said, no, he thinks he's Tiger Woods. God bless you all. Amen.